Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving. Ours is no caravan of despair. Ours is, in fact, no caravan of despair. Something we are joyfully aware of on these homecoming mornings. We have been together all summer, to be sure, and had some deep experiences together. At the same time, like the Jews, we treat fall as a kind of New Year's celebration, and we renew our sense of coming home even if we've been here all summer. The choir exhorts us to lift our voices in praise, to rejoice, and what's more, they'll tell us in a little bit, to rejoice with jubilation. We look around at each other's dear faces. From the deeply known to the unfamiliar yet potential friend, and we celebrate this intergenerational community which has been gathering through thick and thin for decades and decades and decades. We bring water to mingle together, embodying, as Wendell Berry tells us in the poem Eric read, the love that we did not make, that flows through all. And on this joy-filled, flowing morning, there is a bit of an elephant in our pond of rejoicing. And it is trumpeting, yes, and at the same time, I have something to say. Notice that we sang Wanderer, Worshipper, Lover of Leaving. And that's how the song goes. It reminds us all that any of us sometimes leave each other for all kinds of reasons and that we are always welcomed back. This morning, that song reminds us that this is my last year. This is my 25th and last mingling of the waters as the minister of this church. I am leaving, retiring in June of 2013, just 10 months away. That's hard to say. That's hard to look at. It is majorly hard to grasp as something that has any kind of loving attached to it. So, let's stop for just a moment, take a really deep breath, and just sit with it for just a moment. Now, if you're new, this is obviously pretty theoretical, but you can probably feel our emotion or you can reflect on your own leavings. But instead of bouncing off what I've just said, let's just stop for just a sec. Now, I got to be careful not to take my own advice and be unable to give the rest of the sermon. So now, without denying our confusion or fear or grief or uncertainty for a moment, without recommending any kinds of cover-ups or avoidances, I'm going to suggest a broader river for us to sail down together this year. This morning, I preach to you with all the passion of my being that we can celebrate together, honestly, fully, Zorba the Greek-like, remember the full catastrophe? Celebrate all that we have been and done together, all that flows into all that we will become. We can, now and always, celebrate how we live inside each other. And let us expand our reflections also. Let's expand them to flow larger and deeper than simply the retirement of a 25-year tenure minister from this church. As we reflect on how we will be with ourselves and each other during this program year, let us learn from life's other losses. Those ongoing reflections that we do in this area may be the most religious, the most spiritual things we do, since humans are always dealing with the mystery of death of all kinds. Think about it. Think about how life brings us loss after loss, always in the midst of beauty and glory and love and fulfillment. There's death, our constant companion, taking parents and children and lovers and animal friends and beloveds of all kinds. The basis of religion and philosophy is precisely that, some say. Our children go away into kindergarten and secondary schools and into the larger world. People move, or we do, and we suffer the rending of the relationships that mean and that have meant so much. Illness, disability, or aging hit, and we or someone we love loses mobility or quickness or wit or some other function. Divorce or other breakup severs our hopes, severs our dream. Change, our own or an external change, can drift or grab us from the familiar, the old, intimate, cherished. You can probably think of others. This morning, I'm suggesting that we reframe our responses to all of this leaving. What I'm suggesting, as a celebratory antidote to the unavoidable sadness, is that we focus our thoughts, our prayers, our actions, our hopes, our faith on what we have given and give each other. We are always in the process of giving and receiving, of becoming different because of other people's gifts. And those live with and within us no matter what. If we are part of an interdependent web, we will feel each other whether we are together or apart. Take my mother, for instance. Now, I almost fall into the old joke. Yes, please take her. Peg Phillips, a charismatic, self-focused, lively, and extremely attractive person. Many of you knew her. She and I suffered a lifetime of competition in our complex relationship. She shared with me in a late life private conversation that she'd always been jealous of me. She died on November 7th, 2002, the 14th anniversary of my ordination, which she did not attend. A friend of mine noted when she died, "Well, Elizabeth, she upstaged you one last time." When she died, I was profoundly conflicted. I felt relief that that pressure was gone. I missed her genuinely delighted greeting. Whenever I climbed out of the shuttle express van to visit her, she'd run out in her bare feet and her jeans and her shirt and say, "Hello, sweetie." And she really meant it. I could still get annoyed at all of the people who oohed and awed about how lucky I was to be her daughter. And I missed her a lot. The years and my insight practices have brought me some peace and a good deal more appreciation. It is probably what I've learned from this posthumous relationship with Mom that inspires my sermonic point today. that we human beings are always giving and receiving, and we are enriched from this even when loss comes. It really is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. So what of Mom is now mine? Well, on one side of the ledger, I learned the competition center of attention lesson really well. And I have spent many years of spiritual practice doing my best to unlearn it. So her gift to me in this area is to learn some deep character flaws that are now fully mine. I can't blame them on her anymore. And to do all in my power to learn humility and appreciation of others. Bless her heart. She has helped me along my spiritual path. On the other side, I can hardly imagine being me without having been influenced by the great things that Mom was and did. She loved music. And we learned everything from gay 90s songs through the mid-20th century pop to Schubert's Ave Maria around the piano that she played so well. Just last week, I made the momentous decision to buy the little piano I've been dying to have since I moved. It's going to be delivered pretty soon, and I'm very happy. Thank you, Mom. Without Mom, I probably wouldn't care. She laughed really easily. And she was silly. She was deeply spiritual. Mom was an empath of the highest order, and you couldn't cover up your feelings around her. She knew them even if you lived in another town. And perhaps most of all, when my heart ponders the gifts that she's given, she was irrepressible. You couldn't get her down. And if she got temporarily down, you may be sure that she would be up and going again very soon. She had polio. She had an abusive husband. She had any number of things. And she always came out. You see my point? Of course, I can still find the old unresolved resentment. But way more than that, some of the richest and best parts of me are gifts from my very human, often exasperating, extremely dear mother who is gone from this world. The flow of the river, carrying love more abundant than I could ever be responsible for, carries my mom and me into places of lightness and laughter and gratitude. Each of us carries precious gifts from the death, the breakup, the change, the move, the leaving. Spiritual gifts we can hold in our hearts and souls forever. I tell you this story because we here at BOOF can get much of the best of it. We're not dealing with old family stuff like my mom and I were. And neither of us, not I nor you guys, the congregation, is actually going to die, presumably. Understanding we don't know that. We will experience a loss, major or minor, depending on who we are and how involved we are. But we have 10 whole months to be with each other in mindfulness, in gratitude, and in appreciation. And here's how I think that people in our position will act. We will be exceptionally kind to each other. I feel a little bit... odd saying it like that, paying very close attention to each other's feelings. As I say these, kind of like look at your heart and see if any of them are different from how you might feel like you are now here. They might not be. we will tie up loose ends that could mar our gift-giving and receiving. We will cry when we feel like it, laugh as much as Peg Phillips used to, walk around with hearts more open than we often do, even to the people we haven't done so well with. We will show up even more than usual to savor what we have, to celebrate the heck out of it, and start getting used to looking forward to wonderful chapters to come for all of us. We will bring our kids all the time. We will, because of our heightened awareness, love and hope and faith, we will act ever more deeply on our commitments. We who share in this current of life and love have covenants with each other, spoken and unspoken, and we will honor these with all our hearts. We will, in a light but not casual way, pay a lot of attention to how we are changed by community members and how we change them. And finally, we will celebrate who and what we are, even as we celebrate who and what we may become. It's a great time. It's a time with huge capacity for sorrow and joy. It's a liminal time, to use a religious term that means on a threshold, and we can choose to invest it with deep meaning. We can remember on this water mingling day how we really are one, and we can resolve to pay attention to the gifts that we give and receive every single day. When we say namaste to each other at the end of services all through this year, let's remember what it means. I honor the place in you where the universe resides. I honor the place in you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where, if you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, we are one.